Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. One of the key obligations of the South Dakota State Legislature is to approve a balanced budget for state government. The governor's office makes recommendations, but it's the lawmakers who meet daily throughout the session to process the facts and the figures, understand the projections and the estimates, and navigate the conflicts and the debates. Today, we bring you part of that process in their own words from the Joint Appropriations Committee. You'll hear from Committee Chair Gene Hunhoff, along with Liza Clark, Mark Kwanzi, and Derek Johnson from the State Bureau of Finance and Management. This is from the first day of the 2021 legislative session.
Again, this is a new era, so some flexibility here as we move on. We will go into our informational briefing, and we're going to start with an overview of the budget. Anybody that testifies, please come forward. Identify yourself for the listening audience. Good afternoon and welcome.
Good morning, Madam Chair. Members of the committee, Liza Clark with the Bureau of Finance and Management. Thank you. We have a overview today, as we have done the last several years, which will go over the revenues and expenses in the governor's budget in more detail than you've heard. Obviously, each agency will have a hearing before you. Every bill will have a hearing that we talk about. Everything that we're discussing today will be have a different hearing. So this is just an overview of everything you're going to learn about in the next couple months. Because this is some of the new members are newer to the committee, I just wanted to talk to you a little bit about what our budget process is in state government. So in August, agencies submit their budget requests to the Bureau. In September and October, our analysts are reviewing requests for their agencies and giving recommendations to the commissioner. In November, we meet with the BFM gives a recommendation to the governor to work on the governor's proposed budget and her policy staff. As you know, in December and by statute, the first Tuesday after the first Monday in December, the governor presents her recommendations to you folks. January for March, obviously, is when we work with the legislature on adopting a budget and finalized by your committee and the legislature as a whole. And then in April and June, we are loading the budgets that you adopted and then working on year-end, and then year-end starts in June, and then July we start over with a new fiscal year. So that just kind of outlines the process of how we get to where we're at today. And with that, I will turn it over to Mark to get started on economic outlook.
Members of the committee, Mark Kwasny with the Bureau of Finance Management, as Liza said, the state economist, here to walk you through the revenue piece. Wanted to start off by talking about the economic outlook for our larger categories of revenues like sales and use tax, contractors' excise tax, and the insurance company tax. We use an econometric model that's based on national and state economy to estimate those sources of revenue. We'll go into more detail on that model in February, but with the economy being as it is, we wanted to talk with you quickly about some of our assumptions today and then the key economic factors for our estimates. For the U.S. real GDP growth forecast, again, the governor's budget comes out in December, and so this estimate was before the calendar year was ended. So the forecast was for negative 3.6% GDP growth for the national economy in 2020, and then 3.1% growth in 2021. We have had preliminary GDP come out since that time, and we performed slightly better than expected in that final quarter, and so real GDP growth was negative 2.8%. So the next bullet here, South Dakota is forecast to be less impacted than 2020. We've really weathered this storm better than a lot of the other states in the country, and so we were less impacted. So we'll have less of a decrease in 2020 was forecast, and with that, we would expect less of a decrease than in 2021. If we go down less, we then the growth percentage coming back will be lower. So, and then also, the forecast calls for widespread COVID-19 vaccination utilization by mid-2021. As the vaccine utilization increases, we would expect the economy to return to normal. So that's why that's important for us. Looking at the key indicators for the U.S. economy, real GDP, we can see we'll gain back most of the ground lost here in 2020, in 2021, and then we'll expect some growth in 2022. recession, if you talk about this in the future, Senator Nessebo, I think economists will talk about employment with this recession, unprecedented employment losses. And so we can see that impact here on the jobs in the United States. Jobs usually come back slower. We have seen a quick comeback so far, but we do expect some structural changes to the economy that'll lead to lower employment overall in the United States. Housing starts have been a bright spot of this economy with basically zero interest rates. People are building homes, and so this estimate reflects what's going on. And as the demand is met and as interest rates would rise, we would expect for that to moderate over the next couple of years. And then inflation rate, typically, you know, the Federal Reserve forecasts or tries to meet 2% inflation. They've come out and said that they will accept higher inflation until we get back to full employment. And so we would expect to have some higher than normal inflation over the next couple of years because of that. Specifically for the South Dakota economy and our model, we can see here the estimate for employment. Again, negatively impacted by what we saw in 2020. We've regained most of that ground back so far, but in 2021 we would expect to see some continued employment lagging, and then in 2022 would be fully recovered with some growth above 2019 actuals. Non-farm income, and what we're seeing here is really related to stimulus money that's been flowing into the economy, and we'll talk in more detail about that in a minute and what we're seeing there. Housing starts, similar to the national economy, we've seen really good growth in 2020. Would expect that to continue in 2021, but moderate over the next couple of years, but still at really strong levels. And then the unemployment rate, 2020 reflecting basically what we saw, and then returning back to those pre-pandemic levels, which we're essentially at today. So we'll switch gears towards what this means for revenues now. I wanted to start off by looking at what we've been seeing, particularly with our sales and use tax revenues. There have been some pretty large increases in recent months, and so we'll walk through some of that detail, and we'll talk about what's driving some of those increases that we're seeing. And so I'd call your attention to January, February, and March of 2020. We saw some really strong growth here, and we talked about this last session with the committee. We had weather, if you'll remember, in 2019. We had blizzards, really unprecedented weather months, and so that growth is because of the weak months that we saw the year before because of that weather. And then looking to April, May, and June, that's where we start to see the impact of COVID-19 on sales and use tax. So sales and use tax collections in April reflect activity that occurred in March. So about halfway through the month there is when the governor issued her executive orders and we started to deal with the pandemic and people started staying home. We saw some decrease there, but still fairly strong growth. But then May and June is really where we saw that impact, a very weak growth compared to the rest of the year. Ended the year up 4.9%, slightly below the adopted estimate that you guys adopted last legislative session. And then we enter into those summer months and those summer collections. And we had really strong reports coming in, and I think Jeff and I had a lot of conversations about what was going on and trying to figure this out. It didn't seem to make sense with what we were seeing in the underlying economy. As we worked with the department and contacts that we have out in the state, we started to narrow in on a couple of things in particular that were driving these increases. Really, what we narrowed in on was first, wind farm activity that's been occurring in the state. And then second, those stimulus dollars that we talked about. And so those are really the biggest drivers of what's occurring in South Dakota and driving up our sales tax right now. We'll move on to the expense side, and Derek.
Good afternoon, everybody. Derek Johnson, Bureau of Finance and Management. As Mark stated, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about expenses, first starting with the current year, fiscal year 2021, and then we'll move on to fiscal year 2022. This is the summary for fiscal year 2021 with approximately just under $44,000 on the bottom line when we add it all up. Then I'm going to move on to fiscal year 2022 expenses, which is the ongoing budget. Starting out with the ongoing revenue available, you'll remember from earlier that there is $60.7 million in ongoing revenue projected for fiscal year 2022, As Mark showed earlier, this is the most ongoing revenue that we've projected in the last 7 years, with the exception of fiscal year 2017, which was the year of the halfpenny sales tax increase. The recommendation is to fund medical provider reimbursement rates at 2.4% inflation. Historically, we've used the prospective CPIU figure for medical provider inflation. So this is based on a projection of CPIU for fiscal year 2022. And we get that from our economy consultant, IHS Market. CPIU for fiscal year 2022 was projected at 2.4% at the time of budget request submission, and that's what our recommendation is for those rate increases. Next is a 2.4% increase to target teacher salaries and special education disability rates. The recommendation for state aid to general education is, again, 2.4%. By law, South Dakota Codified Law 13-13-10.1, the inflationary rate for state aid to education is the retroactive CPIW, or 3%, whichever is less. CPIW for fiscal year 2020 was 1.5%. However, our recommendation is to fund K-12 education at 2.4% above that 1.5% level. The technical colleges per student allocation is recommended at 2.4% inflation as well. State employee salary policy market adjustments are recommended at 2.4%. And then the budget recommendation also includes increases in the maintenance and repair budgets for those agencies that have maintenance and repair, primarily the Bureau of Administration and the Board of Regents, the technical colleges, and the Department of Military also have maintenance and repair budgets. So on this next slide now, this is a fiscal year 2022 recommended expense summary. Again, our revenue available is approximately $60.7 million, and we're recommending $60.7 million in fiscal year 2022 general fund increases. The last slide then is a bottom line. This is just a summary of both fiscal year 2021, the current year, and the forward year, fiscal year 2022, which shows our increased ongoing revenues versus our adopted levels, as well as the other categories, all told a surplus of $43,614 in fiscal year 2021 and a balanced budget in fiscal year 2022.